May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
This scripture, the verses before that, in verse 32, and says, and as they were going about, behold, a man who could not speak, who was demon-possessed, was brought to Jesus. And after the demon was cast out, the man began to speak, and the multitudes marveled, saying, nothing like this was ever seen in Israel. But the Pharisees were saying, he cast out demons by the ruler of demons. Interesting, the different response. These verses are something I shared for CTKers. I shared a little bit of this on Sunday. I shared it with the kids this morning at their Eucharist at our chapel. But I've really been praying and over these scriptures and making, just interceding in light of these scriptures, making some prophetic declarations and just asking the Lord to speak to me a lot. And it's not scriptures that I haven't read or looked at for years. I've got all kinds of scribbling things I've done here. But again, over the years, when I've heard people preach from these verses, when Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, the workers are few, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest, I've always heard that preached about evangelism. And evangelism would certainly be a part of that. You certainly want to see everybody come to Christ. But that's not the context here at all. The context here is a harvest of just broken humanity. Jesus cast out a demon, caused a man who was dumb to be able to speak. He goes into all these cities and villages. He's proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. And when he proclaims the good news of the kingdom, he doesn't then say, now, if anybody would like to receive me into their heart, please pray this prayer. Now, we know that that's part of the deal, right? But he proclaims the good news of the kingdom that it's here. And then he says, and he healed every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. That was his demonstration of what he just said. The kingdom, the rule of God, the reign of God is here. The reign of the enemy, his 15 minutes of fame are up. And the will and the reign of God are here, and this is what it looks like. And he healed every kind of disease and healed every kind of sickness. So when he gets in verse 36, he says, and seeing the multitude, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and downcast like sheep without a shepherd. So just reading through this and doing some more study, and praying about it. The word distressed and downcast are interesting words because the word distressed literally comes from the word pelt or skin. And the idea is that you found someone, the word downcast means you've been cast aside. So it's like walking along and you see this sheep that's just been mangled and cast aside. You can tell it because its skin's just been all roughed up and mangled. Or it literally can mean skinned alive. That you go by and all you see left is a pelt and it's been cast aside. Now, the idea, of course, is who does that? The enemy. Satan does that. Because he says they're like sheep that are distressed or skinned alive, mangled, and cast aside like sheep without a shepherd. Because if there had been a shepherd there, a shepherd would have kept that from happening to them. So the enemy comes along and ravages humanity. And Jesus came to undo all that. To stop all that and to undo all that. That's the good news of the kingdom. But this is one of the places, too, that just ministers to me so much and fascinates me, is that when Jesus said to the disciples, he said, the harvest is plentiful. And the language here is actually, the harvest is truly plentiful, or the harvest is indeed plentiful. Now, Jesus has just gone around healing these people, declaring the kingdom, setting people free from the oppression of the enemy. And then he says, look, the harvest is plentiful. There's plenty of other broken and fallen people. And he says, the problem is the workers are few. And then he asks them. He doesn't then just next thing say to them, now go get them, boys. He says, you have a responsibility. It's like a test of our own hearts. He says, therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into this harvest. He said, therefore, ask. Ask that the Lord of the harvest would send workers into the harvest. Isn't it interesting that he would do that? He says, you have not because you ask not. And I really believe that's simple stuff. Like, do you have a burden? This was the word we had Sunday morning from the Song of Solomon, which says that her belly was like a heap of wheat. Wheat always speaks of harvest. And this is a place in the Song of Solomon where the believer had progressed enough where they began to grow in experiential union with the heart of Christ for others. And what he says is, you have a harvest in your belly. This is like in you. It's like a heap. It's just a harvest in your belly. You can't stand it anymore. You have to see God do some stuff. You want to be the instrument that God uses to encounter people. You want to bring heaven to earth. You have a harvest in your belly. And I believe in the scripture that, how does that happen? You pray for it. You ask the Lord of the harvest to impregnate you with a heart to bring heaven to earth, to be the instrument that God uses that people might encounter him. The thing I would just say then, a good theological term, is that I would double dog dare you to pray that prayer. Not just that God would send other people, and I've always heard this, Lord, send missionaries into the field. No, this is about the context. Lord, send workers into the harvest, because indeed the harvest is plentiful. And the idea here, the word beseech, means to bind yourself to something because you want it so bad you won't let go. Lord, I want so bad to be one of those ones that goes into the harvest so that people might encounter you through me. That I would be the hands of Jesus. That I would be the mouthpiece of Jesus, the heart of Jesus. I was sharing with the kids this morning, we've seen a few pretty cool stuff happen lately, several healings and miracles. But what happens is when there's a harvest in your belly, like yesterday I was at Mark's Mart, which is what I do pretty much every day. I think I got some kind of gold star award for Mark's Mart. And Luke, one time, they were asking Luke, like, Luke, who's the best customer at Mark's Mart? Because he works there a lot. And he says, my dad's the best customer at Mark's Mart. But I was there, and when I was about to check out, this guy came in who I've known around, for some number of years. He's sort of a famous character around there. And he just had a rough life. And he's had a lot of issues going on in his life physically lately. And he always calls me priest. Hey, priest, And so he walks in, he said, priest, how you doing? He said, I saw Luke the other day. I was asking about you. And so I said, Rico, how you doing, brother? How you doing physically? And he said, well, I'm doing a little bit better, but I got this back thing going on. And he said, but it just is what it is, I said, what's the back thing? Is it like a disc thing? Or he said, yeah, it's a disc thing, and I got some kind of infection. And I'm at the counter now paying. There are other people online, and he stands to the side. And I said, well, come here, Rico. Let's just pray for that, man. Let's just see what God will do. Now, I didn't have time to stick around, ask questions, because people were waiting. But there comes a place where you get pregnant enough with harvest, you're not really worried about people having to stand in line a little bit longer, because the baby's coming. There's not much you can do about it. You know what I'm saying? It's just happening. The water's broken, and it's just happening. And you just got to pray. And here's the thing that's cool. I don't know whether Rico got healed yesterday, but to see the look on his face, he encountered the love of God. I'm thinking he got healed. We'll see. I can't wait to see him again. I don't see him very often. But he was so grateful. He didn't care that people were having to wait. He didn't feel embarrassed. He's gone through hell. He's been like a sheep that's been skinned alive and cast aside by the enemy. And he was so grateful for somebody that cared enough for him to pray for him. But you see, what's happened is I've been praying this. I've been praying, Lord, send. I want to be one of the workers that you send out into the harvest. And here's the thing you have to understand. This is something God really showed me this morning. Because I've read this before, thought, well, I don't understand. Therefore beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. When Jesus came and announced the kingdom, even though these things, that broken humanity is a result of the savage work of the enemy, Jesus came and announced the kingdom and saying, I'm Lord. These people don't belong to you. They belong to me. He said, it's my harvest. I'm the Lord of this harvest. Not the Lord of harvesting, but he said, the harvest is plentiful. There's a lot of broken people, and I'm the Lord of those people, and it's my harvest. They belong to me, and I want them back. Those of you who have been here in the Ezekiel passage, when Ezekiel performed that miracle on Mount Carmel, and he set up the altar there, it said what he did was, there was an altar that was an altar to God, had been torn down, and he just rebuilt it. And that's where he offered the sacrifice. This amazing miracle happened. And the point being is, why did God choose Mount Carmel? Because there had one time been an altar that belonged to God. And he was confronting a place where the enemy had gained a victory because God believed it belonged to him. And God believes that every broken person belongs to him. But they may not know they belong to him yet. They may not have given their life to him yet, but he's the Lord of that harvest. He said, send workers into his harvest. They belong to me, and I want them back. That's what we're doing. We're going into the harvest. We're demonstrating the kingdom. We're bringing heaven to earth so that people can understand. We can say, now, that person that you just encountered, who just touched your life, he believes that you belong to him. And this is who he is. He's really good. You can say yes to that, to him. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Here's one little key thing. Remember what Jesus told them in John 4? The woman at the well gave her life to Christ. radical conversion. She goes back into Sychar, tells them the story. They're now all coming to Jesus, and he's trying to teach his disciples because they didn't want Jesus to talk to her at all because she was a half-breed, and they hated the Samaritans, the Jews did. It was a very racial issue, religious and racial issue. And she was a woman, which was against the rules. You weren't supposed to be talking to a woman. And she had had five husbands who lived with a guy. And yet Jesus saw her as harvest. And early in that place where I read to you, Jesus told them in John 4, he said, lift up your eyes and see the harvest. He saw all those people from Sychar coming. Lift up your eyes, boys. People say in 2-3 months the harvest is coming. I'm telling you, lift up your eyes. The harvest is here. And that's interesting that in that place in Matthew 9, Jesus said, and seeing the multitude and having compassion for them. He saw the multitude and he saw that they were skinned alive and cast aside. But what he also saw, oh, that's a harvest. That's a harvest. All righty, let's stand.